Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? On any given day, about 1 in 25 hospital patients has at least one healthcare-associated infection. This, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's right. Healthcare-associated infections are infections patients can get while receiving medical treatment in a healthcare facility, and this is a major, yet often preventable threat to patient safety. And I have rambled on and on about this for years, haven't I? Yet, every single time I enter any kind of healthcare-related facility, I continue to see major breaches in common sense. Common sense. Not rocket science, not worthy of major research, tons of money, great thinking minds, conferences, associations, or giant government agencies, but rather simple common sense. So what am I talking about? Well, last week, Bob had to make a rather emergency-type visit to a doctor, not his primary care physician, because this was on a Saturday morning and last minute, so we had to take who we could get. Upon entering the facility, which, by the way, is associated with a big hospital, and, oh, I can't wait to get the bill with the giant facility fee tacked on it, but that's a complaint for another time. As we entered the door of this clinic, we were greeted by two kiosks, freestanding computers considered the patient check-in platform. Supposedly, I would imagine, to streamline the check-in process, you know, similar to kiosks you see in an airport or hotel. Well, behind the computers was a long desk with a security guard sitting behind it, presumably playing games on his computer. He didn't speak. So I attempted to check Bob in using this silent excuse considered innovation. Well, the first thing that ran through my mind, as it always does when I am forced to touch a public monitor, is, I don't want to pick up that stylus or that pen, and I don't want to touch that screen with my clean hands. I wasn't wearing long sleeves, so I couldn't cover the pen with the inside of my sleeve, and I didn't have a Kleenex or anything else with which to hold the pen. So I used the back of my knuckle. Enter your name, birth date, zip code, and on and on. Well, the machine hit a glitch as I was entering Bob's birthday, and it froze. Nope, I couldn't hit enter, backspace, escape. So there we stood, Bob feeling sick, and me feeling irritated, and the security guard sat behind the desk watching as I struggled with this ridiculous situation. Well, a few minutes went by with this tapping and sighing and irritated looks, and without even thinking, I said out loud to the security guard, "This is stupid. Here we are struggling with this thing while you sit there and watch. What kind of patient experience is this?" To which he responded, "Oh, is it giving you trouble? No, duh. Is there a real person I can check in with?" "Sure, go over there," he replied. So we went to another desk where the woman literally shouted, "Your name?" And then she repeated it so everyone in the waiting room could hear. "Your birthday? Is your home address still blabbity blabbity blah? Next of kin?" Really? So if you want privacy, you're forced to struggle with the germ-laden technological waste of time, or otherwise, you have to deal with all of your personal information being broadcast throughout the room. Well, at this point, I felt like I was going to need a stretcher myself. And as we sat down to wait, I asked Bob, who I don't think heard me because he wasn't feeling well, I said, am I the only one who understands how those filthy monitors set everyone up to walk away with a potential virus or bacteria? I mean, obviously the people coming in were sick, otherwise they wouldn't be there. Yet as I sat and watched, every single sheeple who walked in had no qualms about picking up the germy pen or tapping away at the nasty screen. Not to even mention, what happens when an elderly or non-computer savvy person comes in, feeling ill, face-to-face with a machine they don't know how to use, and an indifferent and bored security guard? I can just imagine my mom at the time going in there, in a wheelchair, dragging an oxygen tank, with a shoulder and an arm that couldn't move, trying to navigate a computer screen. Really? I mean, who in charge thinks this makes any sense at all? And with all the hubbub about healthcare-acquired infections, don't you think that a hospital or a clinic would scratch their heads and wonder about the common sense of forcing patients to struggle and become contaminated before they even set foot in the exam room? And don't get me started about the exam room. Waiting in there, the computer monitor continually flashes and touts that the ABC hospital takes patient safety seriously and that hand washing is their hallmark. Ha! The nurse came in, didn't wash her hands. She touched the computer and just about everything else, including Bob, and then exited without washing her hands. The doctor came in, didn't wash her hands either. Again, am I the only one who sees through this thin veil of pretense? Marketing mumbo, fancy technology, yet still cross-contamination. I mean, here are the facts. If not cleaned properly, some bacteria can survive for months on the surface of a dry touchscreen device, according to a 2016 Environmental Health Review study. Harmful strains such as MRSA, Staphylococcus, Streptococcus can linger on devices and put patients at a risk for infection. Such hospital-acquired infections also cost hospitals billions of dollars in reduced reimbursements and preventable expenditures every year, this again according to the CDC. Well, we went home and I did a bit of research on these particular hospital kiosks. And I found a few articles that touted the genius and brilliance of these check-in stations, saying something about how the ABC Hospital stands on innovation, and when asked why they thought to use these things, the answer was, why the heck not? I am serious. That's what it said. Why the heck not? Because they are vectors for disease? Check in and get sick. Huh, I guess that's one way to create more patients. Well, 2 days later, Bob went to see his primary care physician just to corroborate with her. And sure enough, 6 kiosks greeted us and 2 humans behind the desk who, and I am not kidding you, did not look up at us. They did not greet us. They did not speak, but rather sat heads down, gazing into their respective computers, again, presumably playing games or something. So much for the patient experience. Well, this time I dealt more successfully with my knuckle, and I managed to check us in. And then we sat and watched. People were pouring in. Mothers holding the hands of sick kids dropped their hands and proceeded to swipe away at the screen with their dirty sick kid fingers. Mothers carrying diapered babies. Oh, yeah. How about a little spread of E. coli? Coughing men, sneezing grandmothers, all grabbing the disgusting pen or tapping their germs all over the screen, leaving a little treat for the next sicko. Oh, well. To end this trifecta of doctor appointments, Bob had to go back a week later for a blood draw. I didn't go with him, but when he came home, he told me that this time there was a woman sitting next to the machines, an employee who, I guess, was there to watch. Watch for what? He didn't know until he couldn't take it anymore, and he asked this gal, "Has anyone considered that these screens are covered with all kinds of bacteria?" "Oh, yes," she replied. "That's why I'm here, to wipe the screens after each person uses them." Bob laughed. "I've been sitting here for 20 minutes watching, and you have never done that." Crickets. Silence. "Gotcha, lady. Pick up your paycheck and go home. Sounds like quite the job if you ask me. Watch people cross-contaminate all day." Now, does anyone think that any of this sounds sensible? Well, back to the article about these kiosks that ask the questions. Why is this better? Four bullet points explain it all for those who enjoy getting lost in the beauty of well-crafted marketing nonsense. The first bullet point says, they automate the patient check-in process. And I guess I agree with that. Assuming the thing works, which in our case it did not, leaving us to deal with the loud lady. Second bullet point, it reduces expenses by increasing staff efficiency. I have no idea what that means. It reduces expenses, yet you hire someone specifically to wipe the screens because you do, in fact, realize the dangers involved with these cross-contamination monsters, yet the employee does not do her job. Why not use that employee to actually speak to the patient, put him or her at ease, and check them in with kindness and empathy? The third bullet point says, increased patient convenience and satisfaction by decreasing wait and check-in times. Increased convenience and satisfaction. Well, the thing didn't work. I don't know how convenient that is, and I am certainly not satisfied to risk my health by starting a doctor visit, being forced to engage with someone else's germs, potentially causing me to walk out with an infection, which, by the way, won't show up for a while, so how in the world could anyone prove that they got the germs from the kiosk? Especially when the hospital can always fall back on the fact that they have a live human on hand to wipe the screen. Ha! You didn't get anything from us. Thankfully, we have Susie the screen cleaner-upper. Oh my gosh. And to finally answer their question about why this is better, and they dare use these words, increased patient engagement. And that, my friends, is hogwash. Increased patient engagement? No human spoke to us. No one engaged. I don't consider tapping a bacteria-laden computer screen engagement, unless they mean increased patient engagement with strep, staph, E. coli, yeast, fungus, MRSA, C. diff. Could that be what they mean by increased patient engagement? Oh, but that's not all. They have more in store for us. The article goes on to say that the ABC Hospital is also working on other ways to transform healthcare experiences by implying what they call invisible technology. So seamless and wonderful, you won't even recognize it. Well, a recent study by insurancequotes.com tested 18 surfaces inside terminals at three major U.S. airports, and they found that the most disgusting surface travelers come in contact with are these self-help ticketing kiosks. The screens on the machines, which are pawed at all day by stressed-out flyers before they hustle off to their gates, contained far and away the highest germ count of any surface tested, coming in at 253,857 colony-forming units. One kiosk screen at a location not named in the study tested at a whopping 1 million CPUs of bacteria. The SafePatientProject.org describes three conditions that must exist in order for superbugs to spread and infect a patient. First is the existence of the bacteria in the hospital. It's there. A susceptible patient, well, anyone who's coming into a doctor's office most likely has an immune-compromised system. And third, a mode of transmission such as touch. When patients arrive at a medical facility, they are bound to voluntarily come in contact with items within their surroundings, such as a magazine in the waiting room, a chair handle, a bathroom sink faucet, and a phone in the patient's room. Now, although these are examples of items that patients touch voluntarily, they still fall under facility infection control jurisdiction. But what about items patients are asked to touch? And there we have it. The explosion of digital healthcare has introduced many new physical devices to help support the efficient, effective, and safe delivery of value-based care. Touchscreen kiosks in waiting rooms, similar to the ones you find in airports, e-sign tablets to consent for treatments are all examples of new technology that require physical contact by patients. However, the only way a medical facility can drive value over time through these new devices is if patients actually use them for their intended purpose. Now, heightened patient awareness of the dangers to contract hospital-acquired infections such as superbugs and MRSA increases the burden on medical facilities to ensure that they are working closely with their internal infection control experts to sanitize these new devices after each use. And based on what I told you earlier about the employee who was supposed to take care of this, does anyone really think that the screen will ever be cleaned after each and every use? Obviously not. Just another bunch of mumbo words that never become practice. Now, at the very least, I've come up with a solution to share with these medical facilities. Make boxes of gloves and garbage cans available right next to the check-in screens with a sign that says, "For your health and safety, and for the health and safety of others, please wear one of these gloves prior to touching the pen or the screen. Then discard in the receptacle below." How simple. Unless, of course, the screen is only sensitive to human skin and not rubber or latex, and I don't know about that. But short of that, doesn't this sound like a simple solution? I mean, at least give a person an option or an answer to the dilemma you are asking them to face at a time when they already feel sick and overwhelmed. Simple. So am I the only dummy out there that thinks about this? Well, upon researching, I found another article from a seemingly like-minded human that made me say, hooray! It's titled, "Does Poor Infection Control Impact Patient Engagement?" The writer of this article writes, "Patient engagement is now an important mantra in the healthcare industry because of its downstream effect on patient safety, quality and outcomes, effective communications, and self-serve transactions. Patients are becoming more educated on the safety of the environment where care is delivered and are becoming less likely to use new devices unless they are properly cleaned and sanitized." He says cleanliness is an important determinant of safety and care quality. And since patient perception plays a key role in patients' willingness to engage with providers about their health or the health of their family member, it stands to reason that new devices which require physical contact that are not visibly being sanitized after patient use will deter patient participation and therefore lower patient engagement. As patient knowledge of the risk of hospital-acquired infection increases, patients will most likely not be as open and willing to physically touch a device, even if it has been properly sanitized. Healthcare facilities must ensure that they involve infection control experts in the planning and use of these new contact-dependent devices and develop a strategy prior to introducing them. Failure to do so could result in dangerous consequences by spreading germs and illness, such as MRSA, which could irreparably harm a healthcare provider's reputation and erode patient trust in the ability of a hospital staff to offer a safe and clean environment to administer care. Now, this was written by John Trader, the Vice President of Communications for Right Patient Trademark, a flexible and scalable biometric patient recognition platform. Now, it sounds like he's spot on, right? It sounds so sensible. But when I saw Right Patient, I decided, let me research this company where he works. Right Patient is, and this is what they say on their website, is the healthcare industry's most versatile and scalable biometric patient safety and patient data integrity system, leveraging a powerful cloud-based intelligence engine to recognize patients by simply capturing their photo. So this chap is not really concerned about infections, but rather he found the disturbing and dangerous aspect of touchscreens to further this company's product that doesn't require touch, but rather scans for your face or your photo. And I am quite sure that I don't want to add the details of my face to exist in some cloud above the internet world for any able-bodied person to hack into. So much for privacy then. Wow. I don't think anyone gets it. So what's the takeaway here? Well, nearly every study published has shown the transfer of germs and bacteria from a touchscreen to our hands, and you really don't even need a study to figure that out. It's probably safe to conclude that most people don't wash their hands immediately after using an ATM or checking out of a grocery store, let alone after using their phones, which, by the way, are never sanitized by most people. The germs present on touchscreen surfaces are then transferred from our hands to everything we touch, like our eyes, our nose, our food, our loved ones, resulting in further spread of the germs and possible infection and serious illness. The challenge is most daunting in schools, hospitals, and restaurants where we are either most vulnerable or at a high risk for ingestion. And the responsibility for addressing this, yeah, it rests on the provider, but it doesn't rest solely with the establishments we visit. We apparently have to take control of our personal hand hygiene or the lack thereof, because it is, in fact, one significant factor in our contribution to the spread of these germs. So if businesses and hospitals and healthcare facilities insist on playing with technology because why the heck not, then we need to fend for ourselves. Each of us individually should make sure we wash our hands thoroughly before we eat and after using the restroom. Use hand sanitizer after engaging with public touchscreens, especially in airports, restaurants, hospitals, and schools. And we need to wipe down our personal devices with a certified sanitation wipe on a regular basis. Now, to help with this hand situation, I have created a hand sanitizer that packs a double whammy, yet is safe to use. And it doesn't contain anything weird like triclosan, but rather is made up of alcohol, which is typical of all hand sanitizers like Purell. Plus, it's got the addition of germ-fighting essential oils, organic tea tree, cinnamon, lemon, and orange, plus aloe vera. And it's called Happy Hands, a hand sanitizer that solves the problems we talked about today. And not only does it sanitize your hands without a sticky residue, but it also can improve your mood, something you'll need when you are forced to deal with germy public technology. Citrus oils can help reduce feelings of anxiety and irritability because they work on the brain's chemicals and hormones, resulting in an improved mood. So no toxic chemicals, just essential oils that are known to be antibacterial. Simply spray your hands and rub together when soap and water are not available. And you can find Happy Hands at my website, zapandzen.com. That's ZAPNZEN. Zap, the letter N, zen.com. Zapandzen.com. Just go to the link at the top that says Radio Specials. All organic ingredients that are based on a science-backed formula. Locally and personally mixed and packaged fresh upon order. It's a spray, so it's not sticky or greasy, and it smells great too. Happy Hands, a 2-ounce spray bottle that fits easily in your purse, your pocket, your briefcase, your car. Just go to zapandzen.com, ZAPNZEN.com, or call me to order 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. Don't let the why the heck not attitude cause you to compromise your health. Be mindful when you approach any sign-in kiosk, an ATM machine, credit card, signature pad. You know what I'm talking about. And like Bob, Feel free to speak up when you go to your doctor's office and are made to sign in with dirty pens and computer screens. Ask, how has this been cleaned prior to my use? Because I'm concerned about acquiring an infection from this. And take note of the answer. I'm sure it won't be an acceptable one. That's when you need to take charge. Whip out your happy hands. Why the heck not?
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Hi there, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the voice of Mrs. Green on the airwaves. Mrs. Green's World is a global movement of ideas and actions made up of people who care about their own health and the health of this planet. If you're interested in things like clean water, clean air, clean oceans, or would like to know more about just what it means to live a sustainable life, you will love to hear what our guests from all over the world have to say. Please visit our website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and to become a part of our world.
So there you have it. Another week, another show, another healthcare hazard that just isn't going away. So take heed, my friends. Be on the lookout for cross-contamination opportunities. Wash your hands and use our Happy Hands sanitizer found at the website zapnzen.com. And most importantly, always feel empowered to speak up. So I'll leave you with that. Why the heck not? Until next week, I truly hope you have a healthy and a happy week, free from germy check-in kiosks and silent security guards. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.